الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, make this majlis of ours a majlis of ma'rifah, a majlis of learning, a majlis which remains an asset of ours in our barzakh and in our qiyamah, insha'Allah. A reminder, especially to the state secretaries and judges, when you want mu'mineen to recite a salawat, never say please recite, you don't plead. When it comes to salawat, the command is, the instructions of Allah are Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Does not say please recite a salawat. It's a command, order, you have to, you must. We talked about that fear, that how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He covers the wrong of an individual due to certain factors. And many of them were mentioned. One of those factors is shifa'at. Shifa'at means by the mediation of someone, or by the mediation of someone who is stronger than you, you are helped out, taken out from your present position. If there is a shortfall in our performance and we need help, someone who is stronger than us, higher than us, he can help us out. And the best of the shifa'a are Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. No matter where we get stuck, they will help us out. But there has to be something common in us which is a reflection of theirs, that way it will be a better benefit. Without possessing anything, any resemblance with them, we can't even expect shafa'at from there. So there has to be something in us. It was mentioned that Allah, He covers the wrong of an individual and how He compensates that wrong. And it was mentioned that many a time what He does is that wrong is converted into good. That is again based upon the capability of a moment, and the great grace of Allah Jalla Ba'ala is always there. One of the other things which He mentions in the glorious Quran, He says that if you put aside the smaller sins that are not great. If you look into Quran, we have sins that are great, kabair, kabira, and there are sins which are sabira, which are small, minor sins. Major sins, or the sins which are classified as kabira, are those sins for whom there is a punishment that has been mentioned in Quran and Rivaya. For example, someone kills a person, so there is a punishment that has been designed by Allah. That is, the person, the killer, has to be killed. Or God forbid someone drinks, he deserves 100 lashes. So these are sins which are great. And if you get some time, there is this book called The Major Sins. It's written by Shaheed Dastghay. It's a beautiful book. You have it in English, you have it in Urdu, in Farsi and Arabic, and many languages it is present. So here it says that if you refrain from the smaller sins that are not great, Allah will protect you. And He says in this ayah that if you protect yourself from those major sins, He will help you out in those smaller sins. Now, how does that work? It shouldn't be as such that if a sin is committed by me, I say that that's tiny, that's small, that's nothing. When Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu was salam says that in, that is, أَشَدُّ الظُّنُوبِ مَسْتَخَفَّ بِهِ صَاحِبُ. Imam says the worst or the strongest of the sins are the sins which the doer of the sin says it's tiny, it's small. That sin which he says it's tiny, it's small, that is the greatest sin. Now, an example, for example, if God forbid I shook hands with someone who is not mahram to me, and then I say it was just a handshake, it wasn't that bad. That is the greatest sin according to the definition of Amir al-Mu'mineen. I was hungry, I just munched a sandwich which was haram. We'd say that it was just a little munch, it wasn't a whole burger. That little munch, Imam says, is the greatest sin. Why? Because that is how Shaitan lays his traps. Slowly he catches, and once we get caught, then he says, Bismillah, you do whatever you want now. So we have to be careful from those smaller sins. So here Allah says that if you protect yourself from those greater sins, I will cover you, I will help you from those smaller sins. So we have to do our best in this aspect as well. So if one disregards the lesser sins, this would change into worse sins, where Amir al-Mu'mineen says that أَشَدُّ الظُّنُوبِ مَسْتَخَفَّ بِهِ صَاحِبُ. Sometimes it's also reported as مَسْتَهَانَ بِهِ صَاحِبُ. So that is one of the other factors which helps in covering the wrong of an individual. It's the old age. It was mentioned on the first day that respecting someone who is old, old age results in some sins being forgiven all by themselves. That is again the special grace of Allah which He has towards the mu'mineen. Says an old person, he has submitted, he becomes humble. He bows down before Allah and repents for the wrong that he had done when he was strong, when he was young. So Allah says that this old age is a blessing for that individual which attracts the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And in our youth, that might was there and we might not have what? That tawfiq to repent and to correct ourselves. But sometimes it does happen that in the old age we get that opportunity. Now, as a person grows, expectations of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from this individual, they increase. Says that a person, when he reaches the age of 40, expectations from Allah are huge. Before that, it may not be that strong. As a person becomes older, 60, 70 years of age, there the expectations are much more than what he expects from someone who is young, 20, 30 years of age. So we also have to be very careful that if Allah has blessed us with an age, with a life, we have to be thankful that is the special grace of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One of the ulama who passed away last year, he says, from his father, he says that a person illiterate, he was quite well off, he had lands, and when it came to pay the zakat, if, for example, an X amount he had to pay for zakat, he used to pay much more than what was wajib on him. And many a times the land on which those crops were grown were given away as zakat. Such a good person. He had rooms, houses, which he just used to give out to people as resting areas. And the beauty of this person was that wherever the days of Azab of Abdullah al-Hussein, that is Muharram and Safar, came by, these locations of his, that majlis of Azab of Abdullah was held. Now, this alim, he says, that one day he said to me that tonight I am going to die. I want you to stay back here and I want you to perform and conduct all my funeral services. And then he said, okay. He stayed back. Nearer to the, towards the night, he says that this old man, he stood, sends his salams to each one of the 14 masumi, sends their salams, sends his salams to them, and then says, God, you said, and we heard, that respect the elders, those who are old. God, I am old. Says that and gives away his life. So we have that teaching that someone who has come to that old age needs respect, has to be respected. As a result of that old age, Allah says, I will cover some of the wrong that person did because of that old age. So, from here on, when a person steps onto the sirat, sirat is that bridge which a person has to cross in the hereafter. And from some, an easy account will be taken. From some, a very difficult account will be taken. That is, some will enter the heaven بغير حساب, without being questioned. Some will enter the hell بغير حساب, without being questioned. And some will lead to the heaven, but will have to give a severe account. And some to the hell without a hisab, without any account. So there are these four categories present, that some will be accounted very easily, some will be accounted very difficult. Some will be made to enter the heaven easily, some will be made to enter the hell very easily. Quran says that وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ. That mu'mineen, they who fear their Lord and are scared of being accounted badly. So taking a tough account does not mean zulm. When Allah wants to take an account and a severe account from an individual, it doesn't mean that he is being unjust. Allah is not unjust. Even that ayah in Quran says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِالظَّلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah is never a zalim. Not even a tiny bit. He never is unjust at all. So when it is mentioned over here that he is going to take a severe account, meaning that he will be very accurate, very precise. And that is, he will take an account from this individual with his justice. And if Allah was to be that careful in taking an account from an individual with all his justice, no one from this entire creation of Allah will find salvation. Everyone will be a loser if Allah was to take an account with his justice. For example, the prayers that we offer, if this one prayer of ours was to be analyzed by Allah with his justice, or if this one prayer of ours was analyzed under the microscope of Allah, the Lord of Allah, he will find this prayer, it will be just thrown away. May that be the mood, the manner, the niyat of person, what it was when he was saying the prayers, the essence, the root, the spirit of this prayer, the mood, the presence of mind in the prayers, whether it was there or not. Or this heart, was it disturbed when I was saying my prayer? Or was it tranquil? Was it at rest? So all these are factors. If we look into them, and if Allah was to judge with his justice, this prayer of ours will be thrown in the bin. So the teaching is that we have to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he, Allahumma aqibni bifadlik wa la tu'aqibni bi'adlik. That Allah, you take an account from me by your grace, not with your justice. Because if it was your justice, definitely we are all losers. In this dua Arafah of Abdullah al-Hussein, there is a beautiful phrase.
Salawat par Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Imam says that Ilahi man kanat mahasinuhu masawi fa kayfa la takunu masawihi masawi. Says God, someone whose good is all bad. Now what will happen to the bad of this individual? Now what does it mean and how do we understand this saying? For example, assuming that we live a life 80 years, And from this 80 years, all of our prayers were top-notch, perfect. Now, all of these good prayers of ours, which we offered for 80 years, if we put them in a basket and then compare it with just a one rakat prayer of Amirul Mu'mineen, for example, it will not be a match, never. So it means that all this good of mine compared to that one rakat prayer of Amirul Mu'mineen, it's bad. All this good of mine is bad. So then when my bad is going to be taken in account, then what will happen of me? Definitely I will be a loser. That is how Abu Abdullah presents that someone whose good is all bad, then how will his bad be? Wandering moods in prayers, they are all a disrespect to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In that hadith of Qudsi says that someone who stands in worship before Allah and his heart is disturbed, his moods, they are not at rest, just wandering around. Says such a person, I would change him into a donkey. But Allah says, it is standing before him, talking to him, and showing disrespect to him by not being present in that prayer, deserves to be changed into a donkey. One of the shuhada of Mihrab of Iran, we've got five shuhada of Mihrab who died in the Mihrab of the Jummah prayers. One of them is Shaheed Madani. The other one we just talked about is Shaheed Dastagheed. He was Shaheed Saduqi, Ashrafi Isfahani, Madani, and Qazi Tabadwai. These five shuhada of Mihrab of Iran. Shaheed Madani, in one of these Layali al-Qadr, on the 21st of Laylatul Qadr, when everyone had got together for the A'mal of Laylatul Qadr, here he says that people, you have all come to get your wrong forgiven. But I have come here to repent for the good I have done. That is, I am a step behind you. This is how these noble, the good, they present themselves before Allah, that all the good which is there, that cannot be a match, that good is bad itself, as mentioned by Abu Abdullah in that dua, that someone whose good is all bad, then how will the bad of that person be? So I'm worse than you, a step behind you. In Usul al-Kafi, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, Imam says that in the hereafter there will be three registers, three books. A book of hasanat, that is the good, the action, good actions we have done. There is a book of ni'mat, the ni'am, the blessing which Allah gave us. And there is a third book, which is the book of sayyi'at, the wrong, the evil, the sin that we did in this world. And that says all the good of ours will be seen, the wrong that we have done also will be seen, and the blessings which Allah has given, that will be seen. For example, if someone was given a life, 80 years old, and an X amount of blessings were given to that person. For example, that blessing, that was that investment which Allah had invested for that one mu'min. Assuming in dollars, the blessings given to that one person for those 8 years, for example, $10 million. Now he says that, in those 80 years, how did you spend those blessings that I gave you? And then says that the actions, the good actions, they will be seen. How weighty they are, how heavy they are. If you look into these, the first step, when the first book will be opened, we are a loser. Or it's like these plans that we have today. They say that $30 plan, 1500 talk and text and data. So this is the same. Hasanat, sayyat, and the blessing which he has given to you. Now how do you use this talk and text and data? Sometimes we finally just use them and finish that, and there's nothing left. And how much was used in the right way? Most of it is done. The life that we have, it's almost similar to that. That Allah has given us a life with an X amount of blessings, and when that book of blessings will be opened, we find that we are already at loss. And when those hasanat will be opened, hasanat also for those 80 years, with all that amount of blessings which Allah gave, they are also nothing. So already in the first two books we are a loser. And if God forbid, the book of Sayyid, the wrong was opened, then we will be right up, deep down in the head. So for that reason we are taught that we ask Allah, Aqibni bifadlik, that judge us with your grace, not with your justice. So, there is this hadith. During the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, there was a Jew. Now he worshipped a lot. The angels, they said that although this person has been worshipping for the past 70 years, he has no rank before Allah, the world of Allah. No rank whatsoever with all that worship he has. The angel said, why is that? They knew the reason for that is because he wanted Allah to judge him with his justice. Allah instructs the angel and says that go and take an account of him, but don't tell him that the abilities which are present with him are from Allah. They say that, why don't you ask Allah to judge you with his grace, with his father? He says, I don't want to. He can judge me with his justice. Because I haven't done any wrong, no sins have I committed. I've got a humble livelihood. I eat bread with this pomegranate, which I grow myself. And I don't owe anything to anyone. And Allah can also judge me with his justice. Now the angels are instructed by Allah to take a severe account of this person. And they say, okay. How much worship has he done? Say 70 years of worship. How much is it worth? They start analyzing that all the worship that this person did, it's not worth more than one of the grains of that pomegranate. All that investment which Allah had for that tree, for that plant to grow, for the earth, for the sun which had shone on that. Individual says all that investment of Allah was not even a match to one of the grains of that pomegranate. And the 70 years of worship says, okay, 70 years of worship equals one grain of a pomegranate. Now what do you say? So Allah, we have to ask Him to judge us with His grace. And as it was mentioned repeatedly, that this is the month wherein hope has to be increased with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And one of the greatest sins that is, which Quran talks about, it's losing hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Greatest sins. No matter how much wrong a person may have had committed during his life, losing hope is a greater sin. A person must never lose hope. No matter what happens, we have to come back to Allah. The other thing is that, when we talk about these factors which cover, none of us has to be demanding for anything with Allah, before Allah. Whatever He gives with His grace. Sometimes, when it comes to worship, we do a lot of prayers, fast, for example, reciting Quran, and there's a change in us, a twist in us, and we say, we are someone. So Allah has to have special favors on us. Why must He have special favors on us? It doesn't work that way. The more worship a person does, the more humble he becomes, and the lesser demanding he is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We have no right to be demanding from Allah, because all right is from Him. Now this tough, difficult, severe account will be taken from those who were difficult with one another. Now this again is another teaching. It was mentioned in that hadith that Allah takes an account easily with someone, takes an account very severe from someone. Some will be made to enter the heaven بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, without any account. Some will enter the hell without any hisab. Now dealing among the mu'mineen, you and me, because we are all a franchise of Imam al-Asr and with Allah ta'ala farajal shaheen, the teaching is that we have to be good to each other. If someone was bad to us, now all this is a lesson to myself first. If someone was bad to us, teaching is that we still have to be good to them, especially when it comes to mu'mineen. Kana bil mu'mineen rahima, that Allah has that special grace towards mu'mineen. Mu'mineen also have to have that special grace towards each other. Says that some people will be taken, and a very easy account will be taken from them. Ghawatin says those mu'mineen who are easy with each other. Allah says because they were easy with each other, they were not tough, they were not severe, He also will be easy with them. Because they have that fazl and grace towards each other, Allah says, I also will have that fazl and grace towards that individual, and I also will be very easy with him in dealing and taking an account from him. A person comes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and complains. Imam says that fellow mu'min has complained about you. You are being miserable with him, you are being tough with him. He says to the Imam, yes, it's my right. I will take the last penny out of him, I will not forgive him. Imam says, if that is the case, then be sure that Allah also will take the last penny out of you. He also will be the same with you. You be gracious with him, he will be gracious to you. You deal with him with fazl, he will deal with you with fazl and grace. So that is how this whole system of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala works. It was mentioned yesterday that when it comes to the good we do in this world, the bad is covered. The bad that was done in our life due to the good, bad is covered. A person, if he did good, one of those things which does help, it was mentioned, is shahadat, that someone who dies in the way of Allah. And the example also was mentioned, Sa'd bin Ma'az, one of the companions of Rasulullah, he was martyred in the battle. And there the mother comes and says, Hani'an lakum, that is, you will be sent straight to the heaven. Rasulullah says, why do you give out the heaven? And then says, he is being punished just now because he was bad to his family, to his wife and children. So although he has reached that high station, that high level, but because of the wrong which was present in him, he wasn't lucky enough to attract all that mercy of Allah, that grace of Allah. So we have to be very, very careful. We talk about grace, and that hadith says that al-qabru imma rawdatun min riyad al-jannah aw hufratun min hufar al-niran, that a grave is either a bliss, a piece of heaven, or it's a hole of fire. Here it isn't as such that Allah has pre-made that grave for an individual. No, we make our own graves. That fishar al-qabr, if we talk about the pressure in the grave, it isn't designed and it's a pre-made something which will be given to every individual. No, we take our own fishar al-qabr with us in our graves. We, due to the lifestyle we have, the actions, the performance which we did throughout our life, we make that grave of ours either a piece of heaven or a piece of hell. That is upon us. So if someone was easy with one another in this world, Allah will be easy with him. If he was difficult with one with each other, Allah says in Quran that there is Ashabi Yameen, which we talked about yesterday, the good. That is done by an individual, all of that good is stored towards the right of this creation. And the bad, the actions of individuals which are done, they are towards the left of this creation, which is Sijjin. Now you've heard this quite a lot, and that is during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that a person, he throws garbage at Rasulullah, the Jew. And that was his routine. Every day does the same job. One day he doesn't do it. A few days pass and that garbage is not thrown on Rasulullah. He inquires, but what happened? Where is that person? Finds out that he is ill. Rasulullah, rahmatun lil alameen, he goes to visit him. And he, when he sees the Prophet, he is ashamed that how bad he was with him and how good he is towards him. Says, before Rasulullah, he was lying down with a blanket on him. He pulled the blanket onto his face And under the blanket says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That is the teaching of Rasulullah. Says, Rahmatun lil alameen. You and me are related to Rasulullah. There has to be some resemblance in us. That Rahmatun lil alameen also has to be, a little bit of that has to be in us because we are all related to him. I'll give you another example. One of the ulama, marhum Sayyid Hassan Tabar, Hassan Isfahani, living in Iraq, I believe in Karbala. His son was martyred between the Maghrib and Isha prayers in the shrine. Now this alim, he was crying, pleading. Now when he was crying, he was reciting the Marasi, the poetry of Abu Abdullah Hussain, and amidst that crying of his, he says, I forgave the killer of my son. To the killer he comes and says that I know that it was this jahalat of yours, ignorance of yours, which made you kill my son. Take this money. Request is that leave this town, go away, I forgave you. That is that teaching of Rasulullah, the etiquette of Rasulullah, adab which he possessed, which was seen in some of these people. So here it says that if we forgave someone from whom wrong was seen, will that be accountable on the day of judgment or not? That is, if for example I did bad to you and you forgave me, on the day of judgment will Allah ask for that wrong once again? There are no multiple inquiries, just once. If someone was forgiven in this dunya by a mu'min, Allah also will not open that file there once again. That is the grace of Allah. No matter how much wrong we did, if we clear it in this world, repent sincerely before others, before Allah, whosoever we did wrong to, He says, I will close that file forever. And the grace of Allah is such that He says, for example, a sin was committed. Grace period was given 7 hours. If he repents, okay, well and good. And then says, if he sincerely repented, what I will do, saying that sin is wrong, gone. But we've got all these different witnesses, the place wherein that sin was covered. We've got these two angels who are constantly recording all the good and bad that we are doing. He says, I will remove that wrong which you did from that book that wasn't recorded. I will delete it. And I will make those two angels forgetful. The atmosphere wherein that sin was committed, I will also clear it. That is the grace of Allah. If we repent, and this is the month of Inaba, as it was mentioned by Rasulullah, Shahrul Inaba, the month to repent, and it's the first few days, and if we step into this month, inshallah, with clear intentions, we may be able to perform a better service, especially when we come towards Laylatul Qadr. Salawat. Returning to the wasiyah of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. Imam mentions three things. Initially to his son, Imam al-Mujtaba alayhi salam says, first of all, I advise you to observe taqwa. And then he says, I advise you wa imarati qalbika bidhikri, that you have to develop your heart with the remembrance of Allah. And third, it is wal i'tisam bihablih, you have to hold tight, cling tight to the rope, to the cord of Allah. And it was mentioned that cord is ma'sumeen, that cord is Quran, that cord is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Quran says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha wabtaghu ilayhi alwasila, that oh mu'mineen, muttaqeen, observe taqwa and seek the means of nearness to Allah. And when ma'sum was inquired, what are these means of nearness to Allah, he says, Nahnu wa Allah. Ahlul Bayt are the means through whom you can get closer to Allah. Or for example, you've got that ayah in Quran which says that وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا, that Allah has the good name, you call upon Allah with the good names. Our sixth Imam, when he was inquired, what are the good names of Allah? He says, نَحْنُ وَاللَّهُ الْأَسْمَاء الْحُسْنَى فِي الْقُرْآنِ, that by God, we, Ahlul Bayt, are the good names of Allah in Quran. So, you want to get to God through the good names of Allah. You want to get to Allah through this wasila to Allah. Or here in Amir al-Mu'mineen says that, وَالْإِعْتِصَامْ بِحَبْلِهِ, that you have to hold fast to this habl, this cord of Allah. And then says, وَعَيْنُ سَبَبٍ أَوْسَقْ, which of these asbab, which of these means is stronger than this sabab, this means which Allah has created. If you look into what happens in our day-to-day lives, we have all these different channels and means to get things done. When the reality is that none of these means, none of these channels are real. All these are fake. The real channel is Allah. The true means are made by Him. For example, look into Quran, Prophet Yusuf. He was taken away from his father. Brothers, they bring him, throw him into that well. Someone comes, a caravan that was en route to a destination. They become thirsty. They come to the well to get some water. They put the bucket down. Instead of water, a beautiful boy comes out. They take the boy. Instead of going to their destination, they take him to sell him to the slave's market. And that king and the queen who never come to that place are brought to that place. Yusuf, from that market, ends up into the palace of that king of Egypt. So how come all this happened? It wasn't just by an accident. Accidents don't take place. Ittifaqat we don't have in this entire creation of Allah. Everything there is, the qanun, the law of causality works. There is an action, there is a reaction. Something is done, something happens. There is no accident at all. So all these means, they are made by Allah. In one of these, this book called Elixir of Love, Marhum Sheikh Rajab Ali Khayyat, when he was crossing the road, one of the camels hit him. Although the kick didn't come to him, it was about to hurt him. And if a camel is to kick someone, means breaking of bones. Says that he starts calculating that what went wrong, that that camel had to hit me. Comes to a mosque. Now these are mu'mineen, how they behave. Comes to a mosque, has a tawassul, and says, Allah, tell me what happened. What went wrong in my performance? That camel was about to break my bones. He is inspired. A makruh thought came to your mind. Allah wanted to punish him that way. That someone who is pure, even that makruh thought shouldn't come to his mind. So if we commit sins in our lives, definitely we have to wait for something bad to happen. Something bad will just not happen. Something bad will happen to us if we do bad. If we don't do bad, bad will not happen to us. So that is how the system works. So here says that asbab, they are made by Allah, means are made by Allah, asbab are created by Allah, and He breaks those asbab as well. Whenever He wants, He makes them. When He wants, He breaks them. Now Imam comes to this point. Says Hassan, فَأَحْيِي قَلْبَكَ بِالْمَوْعِدَ وَأَمِتْهُ بِالزُّهْرِ وَقَوِّهِ بِالْيَقِينِ وَنَوِّرْهُ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Four beautiful instructions given by him and four contradicting instructions. And the instructions are all related to the heart. Initially he said that this heart of yours, you have to develop it. It shouldn't be just like this random heart which every other person possesses. You have to make this heart of yours. Everything good has to be planted in this heart and everything bad has to be pumped out of this heart. Now Imam says, فَأَحْيِي قَلْبَكَ بِالْمَوْعِدَ. Hassan, enliven your heart with advice. That is, this heart that we have, it constantly needs advice. مَوْعِدَ. مَوْعِدَ means advice. Sometimes you can be a wise of yourself, you can be an advisor yourself. That is, you sit and talk to your heart. This is right, this is wrong. But most of the time we can't do it because we have to have some information as to what is right and what is wrong. For that reason, we are told that you go to some mentor, someone who can help you out in this field, someone who is sincere to you. Go to him, talk to him, get his advice, listen to his talks, listen to his lectures. That way, that mu'izah will help you. With that mu'izah, your heart will be live. فَأَحْيِي قَلْبَكَ بِالْمُعِزَةِ So at one point over here, Imam says that your heart has to be alive. How will it be alive? With advice. You read Quran, you will get an advice. You listen to a hadith, you will get an advice. You listen to someone who is sincere to you, you will get an advice. You talk to yourself, you can be an advisor for yourself. And then says, وَأَمِتْهُ بِالزُّهْدِ You kill your heart with piety. So here says that give life to your heart, now says kill your heart. With piety means the world which we are living in, with all these temptations and desires and attachments that we have, which attracts us towards this world, we have to do something that slightly we get aloof from here. We don't get too much attracted to this dunya. Because our destination is the Akhirah. Destination is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We have to have this origin always in our mind. That is, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is, we are from Allah and to Allah we will return. So this dunya is just a path, not forever. Just for a few years we come here and we have to depart. From this dunya we benefit so that our akhirah is made. We don't lose our akhirah by staying in this dunya. And that it was mentioned repeatedly, Hadith says the price which Allah has set for one individual, it's the heaven. One individual, the price tag is the heaven. We by living in this dunya have to increase this price, or at least just price match what was given to us and depart from this dunya, not that we lose the price and sustain a huge big loss. And then says, وَقَوِّهِ بِالْيَقِينِ This heart of yours, Hassan, strengthen it. Make it strong with yaqeen. What is yaqeen? It's this iman that we have in the oneness of God, in the justice of God, in the prophethood, in imamah, in qiyamah. That is yaqeen. That is, we have to make this heart of ours strong with yaqeen. وَنَوِّرْهُ بِالْحِكْمَةِ And then Imam says, this heart of yours, you have to enlighten it with wisdom. InshaAllah, what this means, we'll talk about that tomorrow. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala help us in understanding these glorious sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen in this sacred month of Ramadan. Keep us firm on his right path, and may it never happen that between us, Quran, and Ahlul Bayt, a separation, a distance ever appears. May that be in this dunya, barzakh, or qiyam. اللهم أدخل على أهل القبور السرور اللهم أغني كل فقير اللهم أشبع كل جائع اللهم اكسو كل عريان اللهم اقضي بين كل مدين اللهم فرج عن كل مكروه اللهم رد كل غريب اللهم فك كل أسير اللهم أصلح كل فاسد من أمور المسلمين اللهم اشف كل مريض اللهم اشف كل مريض اللهم اشف كل مريض اللهم سد فقرنا بغناك اللهم غير سوء حالنا بحسن حالك اللهم اغض عنا الدين واغننا من الفقر انك على كل شيء قدير